Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Fine Monday to you. Coming up in about 20 minutes. Justin Lucas, Major League Fishing, MLF. Our friends over at MILF. They just wrapped up their season. And so we'll talk to Justin Lucas about his very successful end to the 2020 MLF season. Very cool. Always love to talk to these anglers. They've been such great guests and great interviews over the course of this summer. Also, this date in Mothership History coming up in 40 minutes from now. The NFL is now making plans to come back. They're under major scrutiny from their players about what the healthy, safe way to return is. But apart from that, the question is, will we get any fans in attendance? The Baltimore Ravens had talked about having maybe 14,000 or 15,000 fans. Could we have some NFL stadiums that had a quarter capacity? Perhaps. Be great to have any fans in attendance. But sounds like in Las Vegas, where the Raiders are opening up their brand new stadium, that Mark Davis isn't planning on any fans being in attendance at all this year. And if that's the case, he's not going either. Now, the brand new Allegiant Stadium looks awesome. They got it done on time, on budget. Way to go, Vegas. Gotta love it. And it looks really, really pretty. But Mark Davis told The Athletic, quote, "I won't go if the fans can't go. And the way it looks right now, there won't be any fans at our games. It's all or none for me. Either all the fans are going to be there or none. I can't tell one fan that they can't go to the inaugural home opener in a stadium they helped to build through their personal seat licenses. I won't tell them that they can't go, but the rest of these other people can." In other words, if we have limited attendance, who of your season ticket holders do you tell you can be inside the stadium, but the rest of you cannot? And I appreciate that for Mark Davis. Mark Davis has largely looked like a guy that cuts his own hair with a cereal bowl, eats a lot of paste, and just stares outside the window at the birdies chirping every single day. But if he is the type of guy that says, look, in unison and solidarity, I can't tell anybody that they can't come in while somebody else is allowed to come in, I appreciate that. He said, "We're sold out. So we don't have anywhere to put those 8,000 people that might be allowed in. How do you tell fans who get to go to that first game, or who doesn't get to see the Tom Brady game? It's a really tough situation that really can't be blamed on anybody. All our dreams are coming true, the new stadium and a new practice facility, but real life gets in the way sometimes." It's a noble idea to say, I don't want to say one person's allowed in, one person isn't. And he's right. All of these fans paid personal seat licenses, and they helped construct this ballpark. They helped fund making it. So whose personal seat license means more than the next? But I would also say, if the Raiders are allowed to have 8,000, 10,000 fans in attendance, I think I'd prefer them having 8 or 10,000 people in attendance rather than zero. I don't know how it looks. We don't know how that looks. I mean, at NASCAR, it was fine having 20, 25,000 people there. But NASCAR is a little different. You don't watch NASCAR for the ambiance of the fans. It's cool to see the infield. It's cool to see everybody tailgating, having a good time, fans in the stands, of the bleachers, what have you. But that's not really why you watch. It doesn't really lend a lot to the atmosphere because you're hearing the roaring of the cars anyway. In football, it's different. Football fans lend a lot to the experience, to the atmosphere. And to me, I'd rather see 8,000 fans inside a 60,000 seat barn than none. Maybe when we watch it, 8,000 does nothing for you. Maybe they're spread out so much, it just looks like, you know, half the medical team is there. I don't know. We've seen scattered fans throughout a ballpark, but they're mostly not even fans. We've seen them be medical personnel or media or the players, and so that doesn't do much for you anyway. But I think I'd rather see 8,000 Raider fans than zero Raider fans. So my guess is that owners will soften on this. Again, it's a noble idea. If we can't have everybody, we're not going to have anybody. But Mraz, I believe that if we did get to a point in time this season where the NFL said, or certain states said, okay, you can have 8 or 10,000 or 25% capacity, I think all these owners would take that because at least they get that revenue. And at least I think the television networks would want at least something inside the stadium fan-wise.
So I think the owners obviously would take it because any revenue is any revenue, right? No matter if they have their own personal hot dog concession area, however you're going to space it out. Bottom line is this. You're getting fans in that's bought tickets. That's some extra revenue that they weren't banking on having. That being said, I don't know if I'm being way too hyper-attentive to this, but just on Saturday, I'm sitting outside by myself at the at Blob's Bar, as you like to call it, and I had NFL Network on, and we rolled back-to-back games, or I rolled back-to-back games, Giants-Bucks this year and the regular season game Chiefs-Titans. NFL Network played both those games back-to-back. And trying to look out for this kind of stuff, I was, I would say, borderline shocked at how little we actually see fans on an NFL broadcast, EA.
Okay.
Really. And, like, if you start watching some of these games on NFL Network, you'll see the actual gameplay shot of that wide field where they're showing, you know, where the first down marker it is, you're never seeing fans. Where you're seeing fans is after a big play when the camera pans to, you know, the dog pound going nuts or something like that, or as it play heads to the end zone, maybe, and you're in just in that red zone, perfect camera shot behind the quarterback where you see fans getting up chanting defense or something like that. But I will tell you that you obviously hear the crowd and you have the energy, but if we are getting in the pumped-in crowd noise and pumped-in energy like we're seeing with the other sports, visually on TV, the fans do not play that big a role in football games, and I only just noticed this on Saturday.
That's probably a good observation because when you think about some of these lower tier bowl games that have almost nobody in attendance, you oftentimes don't notice it because they crop it out of the shot. You only notice it if they ever do a blimp shot, they do the wide shot out of the end zone coming back from break or something like that. But when there's 4,000 people at the Boca Raton Bowl,
right,
you don't really sense that as you're watching the game itself.
And let's not forget, DA, the areas that you might see where they try to pan to those crowd shots, they've already been sold off for advertising to have a tarp around them anyway. So even if you're letting the 8 to 10,000 fans and scattering them wherever, I don't know. I really don't know how much of that you're getting on TV. And if you do one pan shot after a touchdown of four fans sitting in the corner of Section 333, is that going to do that much more for you from a television point of view?
Maybe
probably
not.
So I think the 8 to 10,000 fans is something the owners would just sign up for just because no matter what, it's revenue they probably weren't banking on right now. But from a TV perspective, I think it does nothing at all.
I have to say, I don't believe Mark Davis here that he will not attend any games this year. If they say no fans are allowed in, you're going to tell me he's going to go through an entire football season in a brand new city with a brand new gleaming palace playing football games one of which being the Buccaneers and Tom Brady coming in on a prime time, and he's not going to be there. I have a hard time believing. It sounds good right now. I'm calling BS on this. There is no way Mark Davis isn't going to be at least at one football game this year.
Well, here's the thing. Nobody told him he had to say this, right? So he says it, and it sounds great, and it sounds like he's the ultimate, you know, man's man for the people, and I think that's good for him, a little restart in Vegas. But if he goes to these games or goes to a game, we're going to get a shot of him in whatever suite he had. Of course, the TV cameras will show him, oh, Mark Davis is here. So we're going to know he lied. There's no way he could go and not be shown. So either he's going to be proven that he shouldn't have said this, or he's sticking to his word. And if he does stick to his word, and again, I'm with you on this and think he won't, I think this might be the most admirable thing we've seen from Mark Davis in the last 15 years. Instead of looking like a doofus, it shows he actually does care and wants to relate to the fans.
Oh, it would be the biggest credibility that he could ever have had. I mean, he has looked like a complete bozo as long as he's been in the public eye. So, yeah, this would be huge credibility. But come on. I mean, Patrick Mahomes comes in on a Sunday night to play the Raiders at their brand new gleaming palace, and Mark Davis is going to decide to watch from his hotel room? I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Well, and also, let me paint the picture here. Let's say the Raiders have this incredible season. John Gruden's coaching the heck out of the team. They're good. They're really good. Chiefs stumble a little bit. Super Bowl hangover. The Raiders suddenly are playing for the division in December. Let's say we've made strides of positivity towards vaccines and stuff, and we feel like, oh, maybe the postseason there might be some fans in attendance. He's not going to jump in for like a win-and-in playoff situation when he's the only person in the stadium in a December game of Vegas. I find that very hard to believe if circumstances change.
No way. No way. Now, on Friday, we learned that Danica and Aaron Rodgers had broken up, and since I was off, Mraz and Bogish had co-hosted, and they brought this up. And when I was, I joined them in the 8 o'clock hour Eastern time, and we talked about this on Friday's show about whose fault it was that Rodgers and Danica broke up. And I said, we should go to the videotape. Let's bring back the audio of Danica on the show. She was on earlier during pandemic, and she was promoting, I think, CBD oil or something like this. And I asked her about being the girlfriend of Aaron Rodgers. And so we have this audio. We've dug this up. Let's hear what Danica said when she was on the show in regards to their relationship.
I crave information. I'm so curious. I ask so many questions, and I have so much air in me to just talk, and, you know, talk about the all kinds of bizarre things about the world and perspectives and what we're here for. And he has, you know, the intellect to support that for sure. And he's also interested. But then, you know, he also reminds me to slow down and to just relax and to not always be, there doesn't always need to be conversation or stimulation. It can just be watching TV. It can just be sitting and, you know, sitting outside and enjoying the sunshine. So I think we balance each other out really well. But we both have a pretty high interest for conversation, for growing and learning. We both really like learning. So I think we suit each other well.
Okay. Now, this is a couple of months ago. We suit each other well. A couple months later, they're on the outs. That's interesting. Something desperately changed. Number two, here she is saying, you were blaming it on Aaron Rodgers. Here she is saying, I crave stimulation. I want to talk. Sometimes he tells me to chill out. Let's watch TV. Wow. I don't know. Seems to me that you've pointed the finger at the wrong person here and why they broke up. It might be it was Danica's fault and not Aaron Rodgers, and you just don't like Aaron Rodgers because he said, get away from me, buddy.
No, she further validated what I said there. Number one, I learned a long time ago, DA, and kudos to the Bourbon Belle if she didn't teach you this lesson, because then she's a saint. You never tell a woman to relax. You never tell a woman to relax if she's high strung. And she's admitting that Aaron Rodgers is telling her to relax. And also,
R-E-L-A-X, right. Just like he told Packer fans. Yeah.
You don't tell women to relax. So he made a colossal mistake there. Also, what I garnered from that was she was bored to tears hanging out with Aaron Rodgers. Huh. I mean, oh, yeah, the intellectual conversation. We're always trying to learn. Oh, yeah, sit down and watch TV. Okay, Rodgers wants to watch another one of his bad TV shows again. She just painted the picture that Aaron Rodgers is the most boring person on earth to date, and she just wanted to have some fun.
Have some fun by what? Talking about philosophy? Talking about...
Did you hear there, we go to the movies, we play mini golf, we go go-karting, or did you hear we just talk intellectually and then he tells me to relax? I didn't hear anything about, yeah, we love our in-ground pool, we love doing this. There was no good times to be had there. It was all, we're going to sit down and we're going to watch Orange is the New Black, we're going to burn through Netflix. No, I know you want to have a high-energy conversation, but just relax. And that's it. Aaron Rodgers sounds like the most boring person on earth to spend time with.
Maybe Danica is exhausting, and maybe he just couldn't take it anymore.
She might be. She might be exhausting. That being said, Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem like a yin to a yang there. He seems like the ultimate boredom person. He's a bozo. He's a boredom bozo.
He's a boredom bozo.
That's the way I look at it. You know, Mr. Cool Quarterback. I'm going to grow my mustache. I'm going to do my discount double check. I'm going to have a couple beers in Scottsdale. Ooh. Meanwhile, he's home and he's pathetic and he just wants to binge watch Netflix and have stupid conversations about philosophy and history.
Boredom bozo.
Boredom bozo. That's who Aaron Rodgers is.
One thing I can tell you is this. Pandemic is not good for relationships. And this is yet another victim of this. Pandemic claims yet another relationship. Earlier in the relationship or earlier in pandemic, she tells us we're perfectly suited for one another. Doesn't sound like right there she's getting ready to break up. And then, boom, it happens. The issue is we as human beings are not meant to be trapped in the same cave as our significant other for months on end. We're supposed to go out and hunt, go out and gather, go out and graze, go out and travel. We're supposed to hunt with other buffalo people, other cavemen, create fire, invent the wheel. We're supposed to do these things. And instead, quarantine has made us trapped with our cavemen or cavewoman for months on end. And this is a problem, Araz. It's going to drive people insane. It's going to lead to divorce. It's going to lead to breakups. It's going to lead to a lot of problems in relationships.
My cousin already broke off his engagement during pandemic. No wedding coming up for Zach. No wedding. It's off. We're never going to see Nicole again.
Didn't he get engaged during pandemic?
No, he got engaged in December, right before Christmas. Everything was so happy. We were planning the wedding. It was next December. Oh, this, that, the other thing. Where's the bachelor party going to be? Boom. Finished during pandemic. Couldn't stand each other. That's it. This is what it's done. DA, as men, we didn't even have sports to distract us during pandemic.
It's totally true.
It was brutal. Brutal. If you walk out of here still married, and I think so far me and you are going to make it. We can see the finish line. We might make it.
Depends on how long pandemic goes.
I think we're heroes. I really do. I think we're heroes.
Really, when you think about this, if you're a guy or a gal and you're going to work, there's a commute in there, there's games in there, there's sports in there, there's school to take the kids, there's a weekend here, weekend there where you're focusing on cutting the lawn or cleaning the pool or doing this or fixing the car or doing something. You can distract yourself from the things that really make you miserable. But in pandemic, there's nothing. You got nothing but silence. You got nothing but staring at all the things that you hate right in the face every single day. Right? You can't escape it. And so it's leading to a lot of people breaking up.
You couldn't even walk around a store. You couldn't just say, I'm grabbing a beer with my friend just to decompress. Yeah. It was you and your significant other, and you were locked down, and you better find something to talk about, something to entertain each other with, and everything is going to annoy the living you-know-what out of you. That is what pandemic was.
Pre-pandemic, you know what? You're frustrated. You want to blow off some steam. You came back from work. The kids are going crazy. You just don't want to be there. You're going, I'm going to the bar to watch the game. You can't do either one of those right now.
It's brutal. I hit week six, and I would wake up in the morning, and my initial reaction wouldn't be love you. It would be, ugh. This, so I'm sure how many men would have the same reaction.
When we come back here on the show, Major League Fishing wraps up its season. Justin Lucas just won the Bass Pro Tour Stage 5. We'll talk to Justin coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
good value, big upside.
Good morning, buddy. I love your show, man. I'm happy for you. I couldn't be more happy for you, man. Couldn't be more happier. I just like you in general, man. And I follow you on Twitter. I just couldn't be more happier for you, man. There's a lot of people out there that just can't accept facts. People like you that give it to them. That just couldn't be more happier for you.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being so happy for me. DA, Damon Amendolara here on CBS Sports Radio. An emotional win for Justin Lucas on the MLF Tour Major League Fishing. We'll talk to Justin coming up in mere moments. But first, Brad Heller has our headlines.
All right, DA, this report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they can save hundreds on your car insurance. NFL training camp set to open today for Chiefs and Texans rookies, tomorrow for all other rookies, and the Players Association is still concerned about the health and safety protocols. A bunch of players tweeted those concerns yesterday, all with the same hashtag, "We want to play." NFL Network says the union still has to approve each team's COVID-19 response plans before more than 20 players can be allowed in the facility at a time. Also, NFL Network says the league is proposing one preseason game instead of two. The players have said they don't want any. The latest on the Blue Jays' search for a home park since they can't play in Canada. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is reporting that PNC Park could be a possibility. The Jays and the Pirates don't overlap that much in terms of their home schedule. Jays pitcher Anthony Bass has said the players' preference is to play in a major league park. Buffalo, the site of their AAA team, and also the spring training facility in Florida have both been considered. In exhibition action last night, Cody Bellinger, grand slam, five RBIs. The Dodgers routed the Diamondbacks. Aaron Judge hit two home runs as the Yankees blanked the Mets. In golf, John Rahm, a 3-over-75, but still finished at 9-under to win the Memorial by 3 shots over Ryan Palmer, and he takes over the number one ranking in the world. D.A.
Appreciate it, Brad. Great job. We'll talk to you next hour. Major League Fishing wrapped up its season this past week, and an emotional win for Justin Lucas, his first major win in 4 years. And he joins us this morning here on the show. Justin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's going on?
Not much, bud. Appreciate you joining us. And as I mentioned, this was an emotional victory for you. What made it so emotional? What got the juices flowing so much this week?
It really was, man. I got chills thinking about it right now. Just a quick backstory. I'm 34 years old. I grew up in Northern California. I packed my stuff up when I was 23, moved to Alabama to chase a dream to become a professional fisherman. And everything, you know, has worked out over the course of my career. And I got my first win as a pro in 2015. So 5 years ago, I was 29 years old. I actually won that back in California. But, you know, I've only had one other win and a points championship title in between now and that first one. So that tells you how hard it is to win in our sport. You know, unlike golf, we don't have, you know, 40, 45 events a year with just a small break. This year, we've actually only got 5 Bass Pro Tour Major League Fishing events. So we don't get many chances to get our legs in, and we put a lot of time in on the water, you know, all these different lakes across the country and rivers. And when you get one, it's just an unbelievable feeling, man. It's not about the money, it's about the trophy, and it's about proving to yourself that you can do it, you know. So it's amazing.
And this win for you is down to the wire. It has this great frantic pace, Major League Fishing, because it's a catch, it's release, it's weighed on the boat. And so it's just kind of this frantic pace at the end. And as you were coming to the conclusion of the stage 5, it was kind of a race against the clock. How much does that also factor into the adrenaline rush?
Yeah, so for Major League Fishing, one thing that makes us so cool and what I really feel like brings it to a true professional sport is we have a boat official. So we've got a referee on the boat making the calls and calling the weight on the fish and penalties if there are any. And, you know, they're also telling you the clock. They're counting it down for you, and they're telling you where your competitors are at. So you know everything that's going on at all times. We're like in the old days in bass tournaments. You wouldn't know until everything was over. You go back to a stage and weigh them in. But the climax has kind of already happened. And so you're catching everything out there on the water, getting the guy's emotions, and as he's counting down, you know, I know I've got a good lead, man. I'm like, geez, just don't let this guy catch two fish in the last 5 minutes, because I had about a 7 or 8 pound lead. And we were catching the crap out of him. You know, I caught 38 fish, dude, in 7.5 hours.
That's so incredible.
We were catching a lot of fish. I actually broke the day one, the record in one day. I had 50 fish for 141 pounds the first day of the tournament. And that's going to be a record that's going to be, I mean, I'm really proud of it. It's going to be really tough for somebody to break that one, just because I know how hard it was for me to do. And I felt like I couldn't do it any better than that, you know. So you got to hit a fishery at the right time, too. There's got to be big fish and a lot of them biting. Everything has to line up perfectly for that to happen.
No doubt. Justin Lucas broke 2 MLF records, Major League Fishing records, most weight in a single day, as he mentioned, most weight in a 2-day round as well. So tell me about moving when you were young and chasing the dream of becoming a professional fisherman. You said you drove, you hauled, put all your stuff in a car, you hauled yourself out to Alabama. How many people before you did that, or when you did that, told you you were crazy?
Well, certainly all my friends told me I was crazy, you know, all my buddies in Northern California. There was a couple other fishermen, one specifically, he's one of the best fishermen that's ever lived, Aaron Martins. He did it. He's about maybe 12 or 13 years older than me, so I kind of grew up watching him. He was definitely my idol in fishing, and watching him and learning from his ways. But, you know, I wasn't married, no kids at the time when I did it. Of course, people always say, is your wife from California? I'm like, there's no way that would have worked, bringing a California girl to Alabama and expecting that to work out. So I got married, and, you know, I got a little boy here now, and I'm here for the long haul. I love living here. The thing about bass fishing is it's East Coast related, you know, and Southern related. So most of our tournaments are Texas to the East Coast, Minnesota to the East Coast. If you draw that line, you know, very rarely do we get out west. I wish we did more, but everything happens out here. So I wanted to be in the heart of where it was all happening. And yeah, man, it's crazy. You know, I look back on everything, and everything's worked out. And now I'm just kind of soaking this one up, but I'll be ready for another win here soon.
When I left my house, I was living at home for a year after college. I couldn't get a job. I finally landed a job, and I grew up in New York in Florida. And I just packed up my car, and I just said, I'm going to chase this job. And I didn't know if I was going to get it. I didn't know if I was going to stay there. I didn't know what it was going to pay, really, but I just had to go out and get it. And I think back and say, boy, I'm surprised I wasn't more scared. But I really wasn't scared. I was really enthusiastic and excited to go try it. And maybe it's because the ignorance of youth. You know, I was 22 years old, 23 years old, and just said, I'm chasing this. I wonder the same thing about you. When you pack up that car and drive from California to Alabama, is there a part of you that's scared that it won't work? Or you just go, man, I'm chasing this. I don't care what happens.
Yeah, man, there is literally no fear of it not working. It was, you know, I didn't have the responsibility. So I wasn't married and no kids. So it was easy for me to do it and just think, hey, if this doesn't work out, I'll go back. But in my mind, I mean, that's really cool to hear your story like that, because those line up pretty similar. We just took different routes. You know, you're not a professional fisherman, but I am. And you know, you just got to do it. And I don't ever regret anything I did. You know, I look back on it and I'm like, if I could do it all over again, I'd do it the same way. And, you know, I moved into pretty much a guy's basement paying $200 when I first moved to Alabama, just trying to get myself situated. And I moved after that up to Lake Gunnersville, which is just a world famous bass lake. And that's where I've lived ever since. And yeah, man, I don't plan on moving. And I don't want to pack everything up and move across the country again.
Was it ever harder than you would have thought when you got into the game? I mean, as you just said, what you just set with that record is an amazing challenge, because you know how hard it is. Was it harder than you would have thought at times?
You know, it was. I always knew, you know, I always felt like I was going to win. I had a lot of success as an amateur. So I knew I could win as an amateur, and I felt like that would, you know, that would relay over into the pro side of professional fishing. Eventually, it took longer. You know, I started in 2010 and didn't win my first tournament till 2015. And then I won another one in 16. I won a points championship, which is really the hardest thing to win in our sport. I never won a tournament that year, but I had the best average overall. I think I averaged 15th place that year. So I got that in 2018. And then, you know, I made a switch a couple years ago to Major League Fishing just because of the direction that they were headed with the sport. I really wanted to be there, and I really feel like it's a place to bring bass fishing to a, you know, really big, grand audience. And anyway, it's been a little bit of a struggle for me the last year and a half. I've had some decent tournaments, but I've had some where I got my butt kicked too. And my brother's on the Corn Ferry Tour, so not the PGA Tour, but the tour below. And we talk a lot about golf and fishing and, you know, their similarities. And I told him, you know, he's been struggling a little bit over there. And I said, dude, you can't go out there and do it for anybody except yourself. And midway this year, I got back to telling myself that, hey, I'm not trying to win. I'm not trying to cash a check. I'm not trying to do any of this for anybody except myself, just to prove it that I can do it to myself again. And my last three finishes, I had a fourth and a 35th, which is cashing a check, and then this win. So things really got turned around, headed in the right direction. It's a big momentum sport. You know, you gotta have a lot of confidence to go out there and catch as many fish as we do in a day.
Justin Lucas joins us from Major League Fishing. He crushed it at the end of the season, setting a couple of records as well. Won the Bass Pro Tour Covercraft Stage 5. And so he's joining us this morning on the show. And I think people watch fishing and they think it's just kind of a hobby or a sport, or a hobby that has turned into a sport for a lot of you guys. But what you're talking about is confidence and mentally being there. What's the mental strain and the questioning and the, as you said, kind of self-analysis? How much of that is part of your sport?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of it. You know, it's so much like golf. We compare them all the time, my brother and I. And I love watching golf. It's actually my favorite sport to watch, even over fishing, just because I can take things from them mentally, you know, when they hit a bad shot. And it's the same thing. You know, we might go through an hour-long or hour-and-a-half-long period and not catch a fish. And our boat official's sitting there telling us, hey, you fall into 27th. Now you're in 38th, you know, and they're sitting there telling you you're falling down the leaderboard and how much time you've got. And that's what we really needed to bring, you know, fishing to a professional level was a referee and also a clock and knowing where your competition is at all times. That's what really gives it that true sport feeling. And I, you know, no hate on the PGA Tour, but I was watching John Rahm yesterday and I'm like, dang, dude, I think Major League Fishing's more exciting than this right now. You know, they need to mic those guys up or something, man. They need to do something. You know, without the fans there, you got to hear what's going through those guys' minds. And that's what's amazing about fishing is it's not a spectator sport, but Major League Fishing has made it one with, you know, we have so many cameras out there on the water catching all the action, and everybody's mic'd up. So you hear everything that's going through this guy's mind, you know, throughout the day, the process of should I stay, should I go, should I change my bait, you know, sitting there losing his mind because he can't figure out how to get a 4-pound fish to bite. And it's such a hard thing to do. You know, it's easy to go out there and just fun fish and catch a few. But when they put a clock on you and they tell you where your competition's at and you're trying to feed your family doing it, it's a lot tougher.
Yeah, no doubt. Justin Lucas, 71 smallmouth over a two-day round. That's a fish every 12 minutes.
You need to come fishing with me. I need to take you fishing.
Dude, I'm actually really geeked that you said that because I was actually going to follow you on Twitter after this interview and DM you to ask some tips about fishing because I would love to. You know, I'm just an amateur angler and I just do it, you know, on the side. I'm no good at it, but I love doing it. So I'm going to have to hit you up and we got to go out.
Listen, you're welcome in my boat anytime. I'd love to have you. It's always cool to be able to show someone, you know, exactly what we do that appreciates sport, you know, because a lot of people look at fishing and they're like, how is this a sport? You come fishing with me, and I promise you, you're going to go back to your show, and you're going to say, I went fishing with Justin Lucas. Let me tell you guys, fishing is a sport, 100%. So,
Justin, if you've ever sat out in a lake with my dad and my brother, and we spent 7 hours out there and didn't hit anything, didn't get a bite, then you know watching what you guys do, 71 smallmouth in 7 hours or whatever, that is a sport. You realize really quickly, if you're that effective at that, then it's absolutely a sport.
I hear you.
Well, congratulations on a wonderful end of the season. So cool to see you get this momentum going into the off season. And absolutely, I'll hit you up and we'll have to go out and dunk some worms here soon.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You got it, bud. Justin Lucas joining us this morning here on the show. Great stuff. And Major League Fishing, just as a little pop for them, the story, the background here is that when pandemic set in back in March, you know, it was this kind of glaring, uh-oh, what do we do? College basketball shut down, the NBA shut down, NHL shut down, Major League Baseball shut down, and we were staring into this abyss of what do we do every day? And what is there going to be, what is there going to be to talk about? And so, you know, we went into real brainstorming mode. Okay, do we do this? How do we do that? This is where the ideas of This Date in Mothership History came in. This is where Forgotten Classics came in. Mothership at the Movies came in. What do we do to fill 4 hours entertainingly? Because, you know, that is our job at the end of the day. I don't want to bore you to tears. I don't want to just be on the air for 4 hours. I want to do a good show for 4 hours. And Major League Fishing reached out and said, hey, just so you know, we heard you talking about no sports. Just so you know, we're still competing. They had listened to the show. They had said, if you are looking for something to talk about, we still have events going on during this because we can social distance out of the lake, out of the water, and we still have events. And so it started as, okay, well, we can kind of watch the event on a weekend or during the week and then talk about it during the show a little bit and have some fun with it. And then it was, well, how about we have one of the fishers on? Why don't we have one of the anglers on? One of these guys that do it. And that started to spiral into a really fun series where MLF put us in contact with their anglers and helped set us up with the guys that had interesting stories every week. And let me tell you, inadvertently, this became one of my favorite ongoing series I've ever done in 20 years of doing sports talk. And there is a very obvious reason. These guys are regular guys that are in a highly competitive situation. And so it's not your NBA players, NFL players, professional athletes, Major League Baseball players that have been kind of groomed to be athletes and are crushed with media responsibilities and are just looking for a breather. And when they do an interview or oftentimes, let me get this over with. These are normal people that this is their job, and it's a wildly fascinating job, and it has given us all types of unbelievable backstories. I mean, all these anglers have just been fun to talk to. They're just good talkers. They tell good stories. They've got a great background. It's just fun. Now, I love fishing. You know, I really enjoy the sport itself and the hobby, really, not as a sport, but I just enjoy the hobby of it. But these guys have just been really interesting and great talkers and great storytellers. And one of the things that I realized when we first started doing it was I said, well, maybe this works because our listeners know that we can be a little quirky, a little creative, and it'll work from that standpoint. What I didn't realize was we just had a lot of people that liked fishing, just a lot of listeners that go out on the weekend and fish and loved these guys and their stories and just love the background on them. And so it just worked so well. And I thank Major League Fishing for listening to the show, understanding the show, and then coming to us and saying, hey, this might work for you guys. And then great follow through. I mean, sometimes PR departments just kind of fizzle away. They don't follow up. They've got other things going on. And MLF has been just fantastic. So all these anglers have been great. And, you know, Justin Luke is just one of those really cool storytellers and talkers and competitors, which I've really, really enjoyed. So what a fun season it has been. We started it back in March, followed right through until July, and when they start up again, hopefully we can continue this series, because I've just had a great time talking to these guys and listening to them. When we come back here on the show, we have got This Date in Mothership History, TDIMH, Mraz, MLB, and those who complain about travel. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Inside, it's This Date in Mothership History.
1 year ago on July the 20th, 2019, Mraz started trashing baseball players who complained about their travel. Here's the clip.
Do we, though, have to criticize Josh Reddick, amongst others, for baseball players griping about travel here, Mraz? I mean, they do get to fly charter.
I mean, geez, it's not as if they're sitting middle, coach, spirit, you know, they're Cam Newton begging for extra leg room. These guys are flying in lay-down seats with as much peanut butter M&Ms as they want, as much, you know, little liquor that they don't have to pay for is they want to put them asleep. You board a plane at 2 in the morning. It's not exactly like us where we have the crying baby next to us or the guy reclined all the way in our lap. These guys are basically sleeping in hotel rooms above the sky until they land. And not to mention you're getting paid how much money to stand half the game in the outfield with no balls hit to you. I don't want to hear it that this is suddenly some kind of hardship on you that you've landed and you got to turn around and play quickly.
No security either.
When you
fly charter, how about this? This is a reality none of us will ever know how great it is. They don't go through the terminal. They just pull the team bus up on the tarmac and just board the plane. They don't go through security. There is no TSA. There's no boarding process. They don't even have to go inside the terminal. They just have a bus pull up on the tarmac and they walk onto a flight.
Yeah, they're not in the Hudson News comparing water bottle prices. That's not what happens here. Somebody carries their luggage for them. They get on the plane. They sit down. They lay down. There's nobody. They can play cards if they want at a table. They can sleep if they want. They can do whatever they want. They're literally in a hotel above the sky, and they have the nerve to complain about scheduling again for a sport where they show up. Maybe you take batting practice. Maybe you don't. Maybe you get two balls hit to you a game. Maybe you don't. I mean, give me a break.
What is the best benefit of the charter flight that they take?
The best part is not standing online with the TSA agents holding the gloves, you know, scanning your phone or scanning your ticket. Somebody's got to have boarding passes for four kids in front of you. People are screaming. Then you get there. You're panicked about the flight, delaying the extra stress. It's tarmac on the plane. Team's ready to go. Let's get up in the sky. It is absolutely that. No security. The bottom line is this. When you fly, the worst part about flying is dealing with people. That's it. When you're not dealing with people, half the stress of flying is out the window.
Maybe all of the stress.
Maybe all of the stress.
That's This Date in Mothership History. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Don't forget, you can submit your question, your Ask the Pros question, by simply tweeting at me, DA on CBS, and I'll read through those coming up here later on in the show. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico today. Did you know that right now Geico offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. You know, earlier in the show, we were asking, once again, as we did on Friday, was it Aaron Rodgers or Danica Patrick's fault that they broke up? And we played the Danica Patrick audio when we had her here on the show a couple of months ago, and she was talking about their relationship, and I'd asked her how it is to date a professional athlete, her being a professional driver herself, and she was talking about some of the similarities, but she did not mention that they do anything outside of having high-end conversations and watching TV sometimes. So Mraz claims that maybe Aaron Rodgers is the biggest bozo, boredom bozo ever, and that he should have a pool. And so one of our followers, one of our listeners, tweets, doesn't even sound like Rodgers has a pool or a bar in his backyard. Loser. This is from a follower, a listener named Foxy. And quickly, Cap, because he's smarter than most of us, pulled up a picture of Rodgers' backyard in Malibu. And there is a huge pool. It's on the ocean. And there's a waterfront bar. So he's actually got both of those. So when Mraz claimed that Rodgers didn't have a pool, he actually does. And he's got an ocean. And he's got a bar. So I don't know if the boredom bozo fits here either. But also, which one of your drunken friends is Foxy, by the way? I mean, which one of these guys that come and crash Blob's Bar Bar every single weekend. Which one of these guys is he?
He is a man by the name of Kerrigan, who is actually the best friend of my soon-to-be brother-in-law, who has weaseled his way into Bob's Bar more than enough and drank the place dry. But he's a good DA show listener. He was a DA show listener before he really even knew me, because he knew my sister before he got invited to Bob's Bar. So I do have to say his lineage to the DA show goes longer than his lineage to me or the bar.
Okay. All right. Then I'll give him a pass here because he also...
But still a drunken bozo. 100% right.
Yeah, because he also tweeted at me, DA, when was the last time you went on a hunt, maybe hunting down some toilet paper? Hashtag bozo. So I don't know why he's coming at me. What did I do to Foxy?
Very unnecessary.
Yeah. It's a good point. You had to have drank with him at a block party, I assume. But, yeah, I don't know why he's coming at you with the hunting. I don't. Maybe it's just the upstate vibe you're giving. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't hunt. And that's very obvious. I think if you see me or hear me or know anything about me, you're like, yeah, that guy definitely doesn't hunt. Foxy probably still drunk from this weekend at Blob's Bar is my guess. When we come back here on the show, will Freddie Freeman's story scare other baseball players?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.